Look, there's only 5 different traffic strategies in the digital world, and in this episode, we're going to show you how to use video across each of them.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuds.
Hey-o! All right. Welcome to the latest episode of Video Marketing Mastery, where we talk about the 5 different traffic strategies, how to leverage video across each of them. And before we do that, I want to give you a little update on some interesting things. But joining me in the studio is the big nerd, Marcus Krieg, our director of strategy. What's up?
What's up?
Hey, when we were getting started, did you see Strons Vanderplug, our director of video production, testing out a fog machine in the office?
No.
Yeah, he was totally just testing out a fog machine. And so I was asking about it. I was like, dude, is this how you like show up at parties? Like, are you going to a party tonight? And he said he's using it for background texture in one of our videos. And that's kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. Because I was it's
Darth
funny
Vader.
You say that. I'm
thinking of like when Darth Vader comes out of like the rehabilitation machine,
that's what it was like.
And you see like the top part like an black eggshell looking thing, and then his helmet comes down.
So the video crew is actually leaving the office today. 2 people are going to San Diego to create content. And then 3 people are going up to San Francisco. And in San Francisco, are we doing something at a zoo? There's some kind of aeronautic museum with airplanes in it. We're going to be filming over the next couple of days. Big project, big client. And then the crew from San Diego is going to arrive up to San Francisco to help support that project. Fun times here around the office. I know that when Marcus and I were in Las Vegas and we were meeting with clients, we literally had client meetings every half hour. There was one of those meetings. One of the clients said to us that they, by the way, they're in the medical field. They provide a device in the surgical space. And they mentioned to us, and we haven't talked about it since. Do you remember when they mentioned to us that they were spending, I think the number was $100,000 to send certain prospect physicians to far off tropical islands to teach them about their product. And you and I shot a look at each other like, that's not the most economical way to do it.
Ridiculously high cost per acquisition.
Because they don't even know who's, if they're even interested.
And that was what he'd said to us. He said, you know, the biggest problem with this is like, it's not that we're not getting customers. It's that we're spending so much money on people who aren't even interested. They just want the free trip. And so that's when we introduced this topic, which was actually last week's podcast episode when we talked about using longer videos as a screening tool to gauge people's interest.
That's episode 85. Yeah, wirebuds.com/85. You want to listen to that?
Yes, episode 85. I was trying to do the math in my head, and then you caught me like struggling, and you laughed at the look on my face. No doubt.
Yeah, but when I told you that I knew the episode, you probably thought I was like, "Dude, that guy can remember the episodes." But the reality is, before we got started, I asked Colin, who's filling in for Christo today. So we just had this conversation right before
cheating.
You walked. Yeah, totally cheated. So we talked to that client about using video to source their leads and to know of all the people that are watching their videos, who's really interested in their product or service, and give them a score across all your different videos. And those with the high lead score are the ones that get the golden ticket to go to tropical land.
Yep.
Right? And they get that type of trip with their spouse to learn about this product or service. It's like the most economical way possible.
Right. And that's obviously a really specific use case for using video as a screening tool. But as we mentioned last week, you can use it in advertising, create remarketing lists based on how far into the video people watch. You can use it in a direct sales context, find out which of the people you're prospecting to are resonating with your message. Like, there are a lot of ways to use all of this new data that people have access to, and people just don't know. They don't know about it.
In fact, while you're talking, I just got a flyout across my screen that one of our prospects at GE is watching our videos right now.
Whoa. What?
So that was pretty cool. I got a little indicator of what they're watching and how long. And then after this podcast, I'll go into the back end to see what their attention span was like, so I know how interested they are in reviewing us. Anyway, that's a great way to do it. Then we also had a company that has a breakthrough cancer treatment that is trying to introduce this new revolutionary treatment. And we gave them the strategy. And then like a year later, they ended up creating their own videos. We saw them today. And they were videos that were probably like 1990s quality.
Yeah, if.
If, right?
Yeah.
Bad audio, horrible lighting. These were testimonial videos.
Actually, let me say this. It was early 2000s quality. Because in the 90s, you needed someone who knew how to use a camera to make a video.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
point.
Right? That's a good
point. And then in the early 2000s, you start seeing some webcams coming out, some audio that people can use in their home. It looks like that early stage of DIY video.
Yeah.
And so, like, that sort of dead zone in video quality. Yeah.
And when we looked at it, Marcus and I launched into a conversation. Naturally, we can't put this video up on the show notes page. But when we looked at it, it signaled that their breakthrough cancer treatment was not ready for prime time just by the visual representation of their product.
Their product must not be good, because if it was good, they could afford to make a decent video at least. That's the message that's being delivered by these. When you sent me that link, my response was literally the worst video ever. And I don't use literally to mean figuratively. I meant it was the worst video I'd ever seen. Testimonials, we talk about telling stories. It told no story. It just said, I endorse this product, basically. Yeah. It was poorly staged. So the guy's sitting on like a high top chair, and the camera, which I'm assuming was a webcam from a laptop, was on a table pointing up at him. The lighting in the room was not balanced, so I assume they weren't using any kind of lighting whatsoever except for what was in the room, and they were using overhead lights. So there's this like big shiny spot up on his forehead that
not
was like
ready
bright
for prime
white.
Time.
And then the audio. Now, I just got to say, the audio was by far the worst element. 50 decibels or more of noise. Yep. Sounded like static.
Yeah.
Playing over his voice the entire video. And I'm like, even if the story was good, even if the lighting was good,
you can't get past the fan that's about 3 feet away from his microphone.
Was it the computer fan?
I don't know.
Like the computer was overheating and the fan was running?
Yeah. I think people, I know for a fact people judge by the quality. My mom does. And my mom judges, right? And I know that your mom judges.
My mom's judgy as hell.
Yeah.
Actually, she listens to the podcast. That's so why I'm going to have to take that one back.
That's why. sucks. But it's just so interesting that the way brands represent themselves, if they have something of quality that they're selling, they have to represent themselves in a quality manner, or people will see the disconnect, and it's a problem.
Right. And even if you're going to do DIY, which understandably there are businesses that are going to do DIY video, and even if you have a professional crew for your better videos, your more evergreen,
right,
non-perishable content, then there is a place for making your own. But if you're going to do that, you have to have on-point audio. You have to have on-point lighting. You can use a smartphone for that kind of content, but it needs to be set up so that it's up just above eye level and no higher. You're not looking down at people. You're not looking up their nose.
Right.
Like just really basic stuff. Just do the basics and you'll be in much, much better shape. You can't create a video and have any kind of success anymore if you don't adhere to the very basics.
And I just don't think you can get somebody to watch a testimonial video that is that isn't telling a story.
Yep.
That doesn't have B-roll, that doesn't show that person or that product in action. Like, people tune that crap out.
It has less value than taking the best quote out of that video and then just using text.
Absolutely.
Because at least text doesn't look janky.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. Look, we're planning on doing a show coming up real soon where we answer audience questions. That's what we want to do all episode. where we get questions, we answer them, we be as candid as we can, we give you some tactics, but we allow the episode to be kind of free-flowing based on your feedback to us. It's been a lot of fun getting all of your emails and comments and suggestions and really compliments about how we're helping you with your business. We love that stuff. Feel free to submit questions in for a coming episode. We'll wrap them up into one big one. And the other thing you should know before we get started on the five traffic strategies is Wirebuzz recently released a video marketing welcome series, like a video series, five videos featuring yours truly, where I'm revealing our tactics and secrets for helping businesses generate ROI and guarantee ROI with their videos. It's free to the listeners of this podcast. You can access that at wirebuzz.com/ROI. Cool?
Sounds good.
All right. What do you say we do it?
Let's do it.
All right. So let's talk, Marcus, about these five traffic strategies. I've heard in podcasts and I've read in blogs for years that there's only five different tactics or strategies, that people can take in order to generate traffic online. Those are easy, but we're going to talk today about how you incorporate video in each one of those to supercharge them. Real quickly, it's search engine optimization, guest appearances. The third is social media, followed by networking and direct sales. And the fifth and final are referrals and affiliates. So let's start off at the very beginning, a very good place to start. Talk to me about SEO and the use of video and how the video then amplifies those that traffic strategy of search engine optimization.
Right. So search engine optimization is the process of creating and promoting content so that it appears highly, you know, high up on search engine result pages. So that would be like Google, YouTube, Bing and Yahoo. You know, in other countries, there are different search engines. But the basic idea is you create something great, you promote it so that Google knows that it's great, so that it's not, you know, a ghost town. And then from there, you make sure that the engagement signals that Google receives suggest that your content is high quality for that keyword. This is very simple because everything these days is engagement based. If you get shares, if you get links,
it's basically validation.
Right. You have to prove, yes, you need the right words on the page. That's always been true. But it's less true that you have to have the right words on the page because of semantics, the Hummingbird update. So Google understands what you're, you know, at some level, they understand what you're trying to find out when you enter a search query. So even pages that don't include those specific keywords oftentimes will rank for that query because Google has said, this is like that, and this and that, this new piece of content that I'm going to show you, even though it doesn't have your keywords in it, it's better quality, and the people who searched the term you searched like this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about engagement and validation, which brings us to video. Video, as we've talked about over and over and over again on the show, the number one superpower is it gets more attention. You hold and maintain that attention span. So videos increase time on page. That's one of the main ranking factors. It increases shares by 300%. It increases inbound organic links by 300%. And then in addition to that, using videos with lead capture forms on your blog post can right. also dramatically increase your conversion rate. And so not only are you getting, you know, better search traffic, but you're also going to convert more of that traffic into leads. Now, pros and cons, SEO, very high margin, probably the highest ROI traffic strategy you can use.
It's one of the gifts that keeps on giving.
Yep. You create something once, you promote it once, really, really hard, and then it drives traffic for months, years into the future. Very like
we still have content that we've created years ago in the old office that is still giving and providing results.
Yep. We have three or four pieces of content from more than 3 years ago that are still in our top 10 most trafficked pages.
And when it comes to something like our breast cancer awareness site, Breast Cancer Answers, there are, you know, 1,400 videos, many of them were made when we launched years ago,
like 2012.
Yeah. And those are still crushing it.
Mm-hmm. Still generating about 50,000 monthly views passively. That's if we don't promote the channel at all, we'll get 50,000 monthly views.
It's crazy, isn't it? All right, so that's SEO. That's how you use video there. I know we've got other episodes where we dig deeper on it. I even have an episode, I think it might be like episode 3 or 5, but it's definitely in that early, in those early days, where you can hear a conversation that I'm having with Mark Traphagen. And Mark is, if you go and Google him, you'll know that he's one of the senior directors at Stone Temple Consulting. The founder of Stone Temple Consulting was recently selected as Search Marketer of the Year. And the two of those guys started a video series. They're dear friends of ours. And they started a video series and shared the lessons that they learned after doing like 50, I almost said, right? After, because I'm just so urban.
Yeah, it's because right? You're from LA.
I'm from LA. And Westside. And the trick here is, you know, Mark gives his details on what they've learned and how they use search to help grow their video viewing base. A really good place to start. Let's talk about guest appearances, which includes being on other people's platforms. You know, people have, or organizations have, audience often that's larger than yours. So when you're guest blogging, or you're a podcast guest, or you do some type of public relations or a PR event, all of those fit in if you're doing it in partnership with somebody that has larger audience. Marcus, talk to me about the pros of guest appearances with video.
So the pro is that you're going to drive leads probably at the highest rate out of any of these strategies.
Why do you say that?
Because you are in front of a audience that you have selected that's very, very large, and any piece of content that you put in front of them, just by nature of the audience being large,
okay,
is going to have a high impact in terms of total number of people clicking. Now, to take that one step further, if someone goes to a blog post, your blog post might convert, if it's optimized, somewhere between 1.5% and 5% of visitors into leads. With a guest appearance strategy, you don't send people to a blog post with a 2-5% conversion rate. You send people to a landing page with a 25-60% conversion rate. And so you don't even need as much traffic. And then that traffic, by nature of having consumed the first piece of content that you've delivered to them, or the relationship, or the event, or the appearance on television, right, whatever that might be, because you have already started that relationship building process, you have attracted highly qualified prospects, people who resonated with you on that first appearance. And so then your conversion rates are high. And then those leads are generally going to be the highest quality you get because they chose you.
Speaking of which, that's why when Vidyard asked me to appear in their blog and they were going to interview me, we knew that was a good tactical decision because we'd be tapping into their audience. We'd use video to amplify the engagement and then bring them back home to our site.
Absolutely. Now, the disadvantage, and something that makes people very uncomfortable with content, is that you're putting your message on someone else's platform, which means you give up some control. Right? You don't own that piece of content anymore. And so you're not going to drive the same kind of recurring traffic to that piece. It's more like a one and done. Now, that's not entirely true. You're going to get little trickles of people who find that post in the future, or that piece of content in the future, or that podcast. But the big idea is that SEO is going to stack results long term, whereas guest appearances is more of a short-term go big strategy. So you generate leads faster and at higher rates, but the long-term ROI of that content is not going to be quite the same as with SEO.
All right. So do you have anything else that you wanted to add with guest appearances?
I'll just add the sort of like the video tie-in. So, you know, a lot of people want to know that they can trust you to present well to their audience.
Right.
Right. And so people get a lot of emails. So one of the things that you can do to stand out in the inbox when you're pitching something, whether it's an appearance on the local Fox station, or if you're trying to appear on a podcast or someone else's blog, whatever that is, you could send a personalized video telling them, hey, here's why I want to create content for you. Here's what I would talk about, or some ideas of things I could talk about, and why that benefits you and your audience. And so then you use that as an opportunity, just like in sales, to break through some of the noise. You make a highly relevant video personalized to the person you're sending it to, so your engagement rates are going to go through the roof. You're going to get more premium placement.
Right.
You know, getting on a top 10 podcast is not the same as getting on a top 1,000 podcast. The results are night and day different. In addition to that, if you're going to try to appear on, say, the local Fox station, then that local Fox station is going to care a whole lot about how you look and present on camera. And so if you don't have a video to show them, you're probably not going to make the cut. So there are a lot of values that video can offer you here in terms of landing those appearances.
All right. So video with SEO drives more leads from guest posting, land more podcast speaking appearances, and videos also massively increase the impact of your PR outreach. Super valuable tactic.
Yep.
Marcus, for people that don't have audience already, those first two are probably their most valuable tactics.
Yep. Those are by far the most effective tactics if they fit, right? So that means your audience engages in search behavior, right? So you're not a completely brand new business category, right? And then on the guest appearance side, there needs to be a place that has large audience and offers access to it. And so, but if you have either of those two options, those are going to be the fastest path to traffic growth for virtually any business, when you're a beginner.
Yep.
As you advance past that, you develop your sales funnels and you sort of have a refined sales process, you might find that some of these other strategies are going to generate traffic more efficiently, or not more efficiently, but at faster rates. You can scale them up more. And so the next one, which is super obvious, is social media. I mean, right. We talk about social all the time.
Cool. Let's talk about social. Let's talk about using video. I mean, obviously the pro is a really low barrier of entry. Like my dad just got on Facebook. So that's how low the barrier for entry is. Using video is super easy. They're all video first platforms. What do you think people need to know about this?
Well, I think the biggest thing that people really need to understand about social media is I did not group this in with the traffic strategies that work best for beginners. And the reason is that most people fundamentally misunderstand how social media works. Social media is a one-to-one, human-to-human connection builder.
H2H.
The problem that businesses have, that marketers have, is that there's all of these other marketing gurus out there telling you need to be on these 30 social networks. You just have to be, because if not, you're leaving money on the table.
Right.
But the problem is you have no audience on any of those channels. You probably, if you're not using SEO or guest posting in advance, you're also going to have a serious lack of content to share on social. So then what are you going to talk about? What are you going to share with people? How are you going to actually drive traffic? And so, and then that whole broadcast strategy on social is made even more complicated by the fact that reach is so low. If you only are reaching 1.5% to 5% of the people who follow you, then the marginal value of your time is basically nothing in the beginning. And so you're going to spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours before you get the impact that writing one blog post might get you, or the impact not even close to a guest appearance. And so understanding that social media is not the first strategy that you're going to use for traffic. It's a secondary strategy once you've established some audience.
So the pro, low barrier of entry. The con is a very low return on the time activity until you've got an audience, right? And so talk to me about the obvious tie-in with video.
Yeah. So, we just talked about audience reach. Video is the workaround. When you post a native video to Facebook, your engagement rate goes up more than 50%. You do a live video, your engagement rate goes up more than 100%. Mm-hmm. And it's because A, people would rather watch video. B, video serves the needs of the advertiser platforms better because it keeps people on those platforms longer. And then C, when people watch you in a video, you're going to create a much stronger human-to-human connection than you would if people are simply clicking through to a blog post or clicking or looking at an image quote or whatever that is. And I'm not saying those other things aren't valuable. I'm just saying that video supercharges everything you're doing on social.
Yep. So absolutely true. And speaking of social, you know, now that my dad has finally made it onto Facebook, I'm starting to notice that the older the social post is, the creepier the like is.
I love that.
Right? I mean, isn't it the truth? Like, I get a like from something that I posted in 2007 on Facebook, and then I creep out on the fact that he is probably going through my library of posts, which I really wouldn't recommend for anybody if you want to go back that far.
You can always tell which of your friends or family members in this case
is creeping on your wife because they're like liking your old photos.
you go onto Facebook and then you start seeing like all of these really old photos that are getting likes, and it's like 15 likes from one person from 4 years ago.
They really miss me.
And it's like, wow. And then suddenly they call you or something, yeah. And it's like, what are you trying to get from me? Are you trying to sell me something right now?
That's the obvious tie-in there, right? Why they're interested. So we've already talked about SEO. We talked about guest appearances and social media. Now let's talk about networking and direct sales. I mean, obviously, the pro is people do business with people they have relationships with, so you always have to be in the business of generating relationships. As soon as you get out of that business, your business goes down, right? Mm-hmm. So the more times you can go out and press flesh and make friends, the faster your leads and referrals will come in, the faster you'll grow. How does video fit into that?
Well, the big thing here is that relationship building is very manual still. It's a challenging process, and it's a big investment in time. So it's not as scalable as some of these other tactics we've looked at, but the close rates are higher because, as you mentioned, people do business with people they have relationships with. But so the tie-in with video here is if you want to create a stronger one-to-one connection, send a personalized video.
Right.
If you want to create an asset that is like going to save you time, then you might create a one-to-many video and send it to a lot of people, right, in your network. You could track people's engagement, right? As we talked about at the top of the episode, you could talk about information that's helpful to that type of prospect, and then you're going to build relationships with them at scale. So video is a very powerful tool. It's second only to being in front of them face to face. And so using that as a tool to network from your office chair is a way to avoid the 30-minute drive to and from every restaurant you're meeting people at.
Absolutely. So let's use me as an example, because I'm kind of the tip of the Wirebuzz spear, right? Where often people meet me first and then they meet the company and then we're doing videos for them. But if you looked at all of our clients, I think we've got over 70 now or something, but they, 96, 97% of them are outside of Arizona, mm-hmm, right? And that's because when we travel or when we are filming somewhere, we're often in lots of meetings, meeting new clients or new prospects, developing relationships. And when we come home, we're all exhausted and we don't go out and do all that at home.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. And then, you know, then there's the really, really obvious thing that we're always telling people that they need to be doing if you're in a direct sales role is you send out some video that you can use as a screening tool, right? The very first contact that you have with a new prospect should always have a video, because you will triple the number of people who actually pay attention to that initial outreach. How much time are salespeople spending researching a prospect before they send that first email?
Right.
Do not squander that opportunity.
Right.
Make a connection and then find out which people you should follow up with first.
Right. You would do that if you were single in a bar and there was a tool that was able to covertly tell you, of all of the nice single ladies that you met, who was most interested in Marcus, right? Like, that would be really valuable. Sales should learn from that kind of experience.
Oh, yeah. And that's such an apt metaphor, because people are hunting sales and you don't want to take the extra 5 minutes sometimes to make a personalized video. Well, you know, if you would make more sales and reduce the amount of effort you're using to close them if you invested that extra 5 minutes.
Yeah, super cool. Okay, that's networking and direct sales. Let's bounce to the fifth one, which is referrals and affiliates. You know, other people's audience is what you really want to tap into. Break that down for me.
So when you're working with referrals or affiliates, and really affiliates is more like someone else is helping sell your product, or they're referring people to your email list or to your sales funnel or to your webinar. Referrals is more of a, you know, you're reaching out to your prospects and asking them to make a warm introduction, right? But the basic idea is that you're leveraging a relationship that's already been built on the basis of trust.
Right.
And then you're asking for that person who has a whole bunch of people in their network to refer you. And then they get some percentage cut, you know, whether that's a referral finder's fee, which is common in traditional sales roles, or if it's all digital, then it would be more like affiliates and you'd offer a percentage.
And that's often the most inexpensive way to bring in a new lead.
I would say it's the fastest way to scale outside of advertising.
Yeah.
And the big idea there is you can tap into a very large audience, you're leveraging that trust in the referral, and then you have at the back end of that an optimized sales experience or a sales funnel. But that's the con too, right? You have to have an optimized sales funnel for two reasons. One, no one is going to be your affiliate if you can't show them the numbers.
Right.
Right. If I can't count on getting some sort of pay out of sending my email or my email list your video, then I'm not going to potentially risk relationships with my list.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Right.
And show me that you're going to take care of my people.
That's right.
Right. And one way of sort of measuring how well you're taking care of someone's audience is what percentage of them are turning into customers.
Yep.
So you have to have an optimized sales funnel in place before you can use an affiliate model. Now, we have a bonus traffic strategy.
Damn!
Which is like maybe the most obvious one. Advertising.
Boom.
Everyone loves advertising. Advertising is super scalable if you have a way of targeting your customers. So pros, you can scale really, really fast. Cons, you have to be able to find them. Lots of businesses struggle with finding their target audience online, which is one of the reasons why advertisers make so much money. Because they're going to test with your budget.
Right.
Right? That's just the way that it works. But if you have a validated product and you have content that you can use to attract and nurture leads, then advertising is the next logical progression. However, the problem with advertising, and I think I'm going to use a little example here of a couple of different companies, is that you're going to cut into your margins a lot. So now, just as a point of example here, let's look at Dell versus Apple.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Apple, you dominate the market, you have the highest priced products, you have the highest margins in your industry, and people are still willing to pay for it. And then you see an Apple ad, and it is 100 times better than any ad that Dell puts out.
Right, beautiful.
Because they can afford it.
Right.
They can also spend more on placement of that ad than Dell can because their margins are higher. The lower margin your business is, the less access to advertising you have. Advertising is not a good place to build your traffic if you are the lowest cost or mid-market solution in your industry.
Because you're already eating into your profit margin, and then you're what is it? I think the clinical term is you're compounding your ability to screw the pooch.
the 800-pound gorilla in your industry, if they see you growing on the basis of ads, they're going to jump on ads,
yeah,
and then they're just going to destroy you,
yeah,
because they're going to outspend you on every target that you find that's working. And the analytics and the data that you can get about your competitors and what they're doing is insane. So if you're going to do advertising, you need to make sure that you're A, pumping up the value of your product or service.
Right.
Charging commensurately for that value,
right,
and that you have either some kind of retention model so you make monthly recurring revenue, or you have some reasonably high margin product that allows you to justify advertising.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, we're going to spend more time in a future episode on video ads. I know that our audience has been asking for it. We hear you loud and clear. We're working on some cool things behind the scenes. But Marcus, this was really helpful. I think it gave people a good understanding about the five traffic strategies, how to use
the sixth
video.
Bonus one.
And the sixth bonus. We're always giving you more than what you expected. And so let me do a quick little summary. SEO, search engine optimization, guest appearances, which include guest blogging, podcasts, PR. Then you've got social media as a traffic strategy, networking and direct sales, and then referrals and affiliates. Before we say bye for now, is there anything you want to add on these 5+1 traffic strategies?
Just to reiterate the importance of starting with the strategies that make sense for beginners, unless you have a sales process that's working.
Right.
If you have a working optimized sales process and the content to support it, then you can start reaching for things like advertising and affiliate marketing and social media. But you have to have some assets to play with, or those strategies will be a very, very big time suck and you will get very low ROI.
Big picture here is when you're starting off and you're trying to lay out your strategy, what I want you to do is identify that goal first. In life, when your family would all pile into the car to go to grandma's house, everybody knew what the goal was before you hit the road and left the driveway. Do the same thing. Make sure that you understand that your goals will dictate your strategy will dictate your content type and how you execute against it. These are the 5+1 traffic strategies, and I'm glad Marcus had a few moments to drop into the studio with me to break it on down for you.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
Always fun. And look, if you want to get access to the show notes for this episode, you can go to wirebuzz.com/87. An easy way to remember 87, well, that was the year, 1987 was the year that The Simpsons, Bart and Homer and the rest of the cast of characters were first on television. By the way, little factoid, one of the main voices of The Simpsons gets paid $300,000 an episode. I know because I recently heard an interview with him. But how long do you think it takes him? He does about 4 or 5 voices to record one episode of The Simpsons. I tell you right now, okay? 45 minutes. Hey, if this podcast was valuable to you, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and hit it hard, and then leave a really honest rating and review. If you've got somebody in your life that you're rooting for and they're an entrepreneur, or maybe they've got a job in marketing or sales, please do them a favor. Send them a link to our podcast so they know just how valuable it is to start incorporating video into the way that they convince and convert, and they'll make money at faster and faster rates. So on behalf of the Wirebuzz team, thanks for joining us for episode 87. If you want to get access to our show notes, make sure you go wirebuzz.com/87. And before I back out of the studio, if you've got any video marketing questions on strategy, on the video creation, on the deployment, or using SaaS services to be able to track your leads, to close them at faster rates, submit them in, and we'll definitely use them in a future episode because we're going to package up all these questions. You can go to wirebuzz.com/pitch to pitch your question over my way, wirebuzz.com/pitch with a P. All right, so that's pretty much it. The end of the show. We're going to keep doing our job. Stay tuned for the next episode where we break down the latest news and show you how to use this information to amplify your business goals. That'll all happen in episode 88. Look forward to talking with you and keeping you up to speed on the latest information so you can be a video marketing master.